And welcome to another episode of The Rule of Three. It's two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. I'm Brian Miller. On the other end of the mic, we've got Tim Slagle.
Always.
And today we're going to talk about a big change in my life. In fact, here's a good tease.
You're going through your change.
I'm no longer doing something that I've done a lot for about half my life. I'll let you imagine that. And then perhaps or perhaps not in related news, Anthony Weiner is going to jail. We'll talk about that and all the circumstances around that. And but first, the big news, I think the Weiner news is going to be the big news of the later today. But the big news of this weekend for sure was the...
oh, my gosh. The joke writers for the late night shows are frantically... filling the inbox of the writers at every late night talk show with stuff that they just, you know, with duplicitous jokes.
Oh, absolutely. The Weiner thing is a real boon. In fact, they're probably like, how many take a knee jokes can we make versus how many Weiner jokes, and how can we put those together? But yeah, the football was in the news for A lot of non-football reasons yesterday when the – well, I guess it started on Friday when the president did his best Skip Bayless impersonation and during a candidate forum decided to do a bunch of football hot takes. worth noting that his ability to be on the wrong side of every issue commenced with him also kvetching about how they don't have enough intense hitting in football anymore as the CTE reality settle in ever starker on the game.
Well, I think any position he'd take would be the wrong position.
He picked the if Donald Trump said football is a great game and it's fun to see exciting stuff, but we should be concerned about player safety. I would say, yeah, that's the right side. The notion of saying that the problem with football anymore is that the hitting isn't hard enough that is literally the thing that you expect the dumbest guy at any given sports bar to say.
Well, not necessarily, because MMA is more popular than boxing right now for exactly that reason.
Well, the problem with football isn't the excitement or the whatever the violence. It's the problem of the kind of hitting that used to go on in football has been proven to cause massive brain trauma in almost everyone who plays it.
Yeah, so it is the hitting that happens in boxing.
It's just part of
the game. It's the gladiator aspect of the game. And there are a certain amount of people that enjoy that gladiator aspect of the game. It's not that he's taking the wrong side. He's just taking the politically incorrect side.
He's taking the dumbest, least involved in science side. And by the way, interestingly, MMA, they haven't done it long term enough to sort of know. But MMA, I would argue, will probably wind up having a vastly lower rate of concussions and CTE than boxing.
Sure. Probably, because you can only hit so hard before it starts to hurt.
Yes, weirdly enough, the bare knuckle element of MMA, which makes it seem so much more brutal, actually makes it probably better for your long term health.
Right.
Which is bonkers. But there it is. But but people weren't mad about the Skip Bayless like hot take that the president felt the need to deliver. It was his calling Colin Kaepernick a son of a bitch.
He did not do that.
He didn't? He said
No, he said I would like to see one of these coaches come out and say. And then what he did was he went into his coach voice. And yes, you could say, well, no, he just called Colin Kaepernick an SOB. But the truth is, it's like, no, he was kind of doing a character. And he didn't single out Colin either.
Because he said
those guys on the field, which definitely is not Colin. It's he was saying that the people that are not standing, he would like to see a coach say something a coach would say. He did not directly call anyone an SOB. I highly dispute that.
I would agree. Yeah, you're right that he didn't say it specifically about Kaepernick. He's saying it in a coach voice character is a That's the same thing that Mark Furman used to say why it was fine that he said the N-word a whole bunch of times in somebody's answering machine. I mean, I was doing it in character as a classic defense of scoundrel comics. But as usual, this is exactly what Trump loves to do. I mean,
no, it's not really a defense. It's the same thing. It's pulling out a ventriloquist dummy. The ventriloquist dummy can say awful, horrible things because it's not the comedian doing it. It's the Littlewood.
The ventriloquist dummy doesn't have access to the nuclear codes.
Well, some might argue that you're wrong on that as well.
Well, that was the last Republican presidential administration. That's incredibly specific parsing of words for the fact that the president was – I mean, this is the thing that Trump loves to do. He loves to indulge in sort of race-baity stuff that's not – it just toes the line, you know. It's you can make the argument that it's not, but of course he always injects it.
How is that racial?
This has been hilariously the division that I've watched come up on Twitter, which is that white people want to say that when black people want to protest for racial reasons, the white people get to decide when it's racism. Well, it's not racist to tell them they can't take a knee. It's because they're disrespecting the military, as though they're not protesting the military. Bob Costas, fantastic. I would recommend everybody watch Bob Costas's little 2-minute speech about how the flag has become equated exclusively with the military. Which in a sort of strange way, that as though patriotism can only be encompassed by the military, which I thought was an interesting point that I had not really thought about.
No, that is a good point. But the way I look at it has nothing to do with the flag. The way I look at it, and I got in trouble for bringing this up yesterday, is that if you work at Applebee's and someone has a birthday, every Applebee's employee is expected to gather around and clap while they sing the birthday song. And if you don't want to clap for the birthday song, you don't belong in an Applebee's uniform.
The national anthem isn't part of the football game. It's not part of your job. Part of your job at Applebee's, I suppose, if you're a server, is to sing the birthday song. Part of your job as a football player is not to sit or stand or do anything particular for the national anthem.
I don't know that it has anything in the Applebee's employee agreement that you need to sing the birthday song. I think that's just something that's suggested, is that it probably says in your contract that you are expected to promote Applebee's and to do everything in the interest of customer service, and the birthday song is lumped in there. And also, when you sign a contract with the NFL, you recognize that customer satisfaction is important to the success of the NFL, and you must always behave in a fashion that promotes that.
By the way, I would argue you're doing more of a disservice to the national anthem by comparing it to the birthday song than anyone is by kneeling during it.
Well, that was my point exactly, but boy, do you think people heard that? I was on our good friend of the show, Emily Galati's thread, and that's I brought that up. And I was thinking that, you know, that the people would say, oh, he's dissing the anthem. But no one noticed that. I just called a bigot and a racist and a hater and a Trump supporter.
Well, we probably do agree in a capacity on this, which is, in general, there's nothing I detest more than symbolic argument. Like, people investing too much energy in any symbolism, because inherently symbolism is just a symbol, you know, versus a practical policy or something that's affecting the lives of people. The part of this that I actually really care about, that I think it's really dark, is just the president of the United States going around telling everybody that – saying that people in private businesses should be fired for expressing political opinions. It's weird that the president, who's supposed to be making jobs, is calling for people to lose jobs on a seemingly regular basis anyway. But the fact that the dissent is supposed to be a fireable offense in America is reprehensible.
Well, dissent in the uniform. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same for the military. It's the same for Applebee's. When you're wearing the uniform, you're not allowed to have your own opinion. Your opinion is that you're wearing the uniform and that you support whatever organization it provided you with that uniform.
I'm gonna do you a favor and bring your old friend capitalism into this and say that I bet old Mr. Capitalism would dictate that it doesn't matter if you are actively peeing during the national anthem. If you can throw for 350 yards and no interceptions, you will be hired in the NFL. There will always be a coach to hire you because if you win, because it's about winning. Football is the product of football is not patriotism. The product of football is touchdowns and victories.
And if you can't throw like that and want to express your political opinion, you won't be hired. In fact, our good friend Colin is probably filling out an Applebee's application as we speak.
I have more to say on that, but we do not have more segments, so that's that.
And on the third segment of the Rule of Three, we're going to be talking about something. I like the way you put it in the first segment. Something that Brian used to do all the time
since I was a
for
teenager.
Half his life. that he's no longer doing anymore. So that will be segment three. In this segment. We are going to be talking about an incident. Once in a while, an incident comes along into the news that makes every hack comedian think that they're a political comic. And certainly the Monica Lewinsky phase of the of the Clinton administration did that for a lot of people. I think right now the election of Donald Trump is doing that for a lot of comics.
Mm-hmm.
But another incident, a little side incident, someone who probably would have been quite prominent in the administration had had Hillary won the election. Anthony Weiner is going to prison.
I don't think he would have been had he not gotten. I think two scandals ago he would have been prominent. Yes.
He was married to
Huma.
Yeah, don't call her Huma Wiener because
that is not about
that is not her name.
I never thought about that,
and I just ruined about a dozen late night jokes right there. they didn't divorce until like I think they just filed for divorce.
If she had been
elected in November, she certainly Huma would definitely be part of her administration.
Yeah, but I think that divorce was happening. That divorce was happening. In fact, I think Weiner might have gotten lucky. I think if Hillary was in power, Huma might have found a way to have him executed. I put it this way. However you feel about Anthony Weiner, I guarantee you that Hillary Clinton and Huma feel much, much more intensely than you do.
Actually, much like your namesake, some people call him the gangster of love. Some people call him Maurice.
Yes, or the pompatus.
I like to call him Carlos Danger.
Sure, he likes to call him Carlos Danger.
Which, if you haven't been following the story, and why wouldn't you have? That was the name that was his Twitter handle, code name. That was like his sex site.
Yes, that would like that was like his online chat handle.
Yeah. It sounds like it doesn't even sound like something from a bad spy movie. It sounds something more like from a Mike Myers.
Like an Austin Powers-y thing, or like
Austin Powers. It's not even Matt Helm, if you remember the Dean Martin spy movies, was the one with Charles Colburn.
Oh, I know.
James Coburn. Flint. I don't know what his first name was. Yeah. Armand Flint. I forget what his first name was, but Flint. Yes. Also, Carlos Danger would be a supervillain.
Carlos Danger is like the name that the Big Bang Theory guys would come up with if they thought they were involved in international espionage. Like, that would be a sitcom writer's joke of a name for a fake spy.
And you're on a sex site. Your name is Wiener. Hello.
Yeah.
You should be Oscar Mayer. Oscar Mayer, 10 inch.
I get to dig up an old joke that I really like, which is, you know, people got really upset with him for tweeting a sex photo with him having a clearly aroused with his baby laying next to him. But, you know, the baby was just for scale.
When he first started getting accused of doing this, which I might come back around to because I think it's one of the greatest moments in history. Mm-hmm. But when he first started getting accused, he said that he's been used to it because he's been, you know, when you have a name like he does. It's hard to get through fifth grade.
Right. It was kind of clever. He kind of used his name in like a jiu-jitsu move to like defend himself where it's like, well, of course I have a funny name. Of course people are going to make – sex rumors are inevitable, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it turned out that they weren't rumors, which was – which for me was probably – was Andrew Breitbart's finest moment when Anthony Weiner was supposed to give a press conference. Mm-hmm. And like is often done with rock stars and press conferences, they like to keep them waiting to get the anticipation mm-hmm. up. So while they were waiting, Andrew Breitbart, people were asking, they saw him there and they were asking him questions. Because at that time, Anthony Weiner was still denying that it was him. Mm-hmm. And Breitbart is saying that Breitbart made it up. And Breitbart was saying, no, these are absolutely legitimate photos that Anthony Weiner was sending out. And people were asking him questions. You know, it's like, oh, aren't you just a paid shill? And aren't you just trying to destroy Hillary Clinton through? And he was asking so many questions. He said, oh, heck with it. And walked up behind the microphones that were already set there and absolutely hijacked the press.
I do remember that, actually, yeah.
It was his finest moment. And then after about a half hour of him answering questions from the press, Anthony Weiner's people said, you can't go on now.
Well, did you see the documentary called Weiner?
I did not.
I highly recommend that you and everybody go back and watch it. It is so totally fascinating. It's not that there's going to be any... There's no big shock in there. I mean, we know how the story ends now, but you really do see his like ego and delusion and sickness and all of it. I mean, he's just an awful person. But because the whole gimmick of the movie is he's going to run for mayor, you know, and he's making his big comeback after having gotten caught once. And the movie ends because he's given the cameras all his access, and then of course he manages to get caught again. And so the back half of the movie is him dealing with the recurrence during the documentary that's supposed to be his comeback. And the camera is actually on Huma's face when she finds out and he confesses to her. And it's remarkable. I mean, it's just if you feel terrible for her in that, and just like to see what an awful person he is, like it gives context to this. And so like having seen the movie, it makes me doubly not upset that he's getting 21 months in jail.
I thought if they actually decide to do the Anthony Weiner story as a docudrama, mm-hmm. I thought the perfect character would be Screech.
That'd be the Lifetime version of it.
it's every time I look at a picture of Anthony Weiner, that's what I see. I think of Saved by the Bell.
Absolutely. And speaking of people who don't like things to get too old, this segment is technically a little bit too old, so we have to cut it off.
It's actually not.
No?
We didn't start. No, we didn't start till 13:10. You're cutting it off 2 minutes early.
I bladed my wiener.
Yeah, you prematurely.
See, you know what it is? You made a great point, by the way. about it, certain things turn comics into make comics want to think they're political comics. But you're totally right that this is one of those, because ultimately all comics like to make dong jokes, and this is a way to just make dong jokes, but to have it seem like you're making politics jokes.
Yeah, to make it seem a little more heavy.
Right, it's kind of like it's sort of the equivalent of like really. I mean, there's sort of a breed of alt comic that sort of tells dumb, dirty jokes, but then like will like say the word existentialism somewhere in there, and in their mind it's like, you know, that classes up the joint. It's like, nah, it's still dong jokes, you know.
Yeah. It's I think one term that is often used, that is often thrown into that kind of a. That kind of routine is Kafkaesque.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, real quick, before the segment is over, though, I'm curious. What do you think happens to Wiener when he gets out? Does he make it to 21 months, or whatever?
Well, first I wanted to mention what happens when he goes in, and just a quick note here. If he thought he was made fun of a lot for being given the name from his parents, Wiener. Imagine what's going to happen when he gets into prison for the name he gave himself.
Oh.
Because he is going to spend the entire 21 months as Carlos Danger.
You think he'll join like the Latin Kings or something?
When he gets out, I say he goes on an apology tour and tries to revitalize his political career.
That's
my speculation.
I'm going to guess attempted talk show host.
Ultimately, what will happen? Porn.
Interesting.
And that is the segment. We keep our work up with drafts. All he did was a book and a half. Eight hamburgers and grab some beers. Some old Bob Fly borders to tears. Grab a coat and blow this scene. Go to miss a movie at 7:15.
And on the final segment of Rule of Three for this week, as promised, something I've done a lot since I was a teenager. Almost half my life I've done it constantly, and this weekend I stopped doing it.
Huh.
I'm no longer...
How long do you think you're going to be able to stop for?
I mean, I got a Netflix this weekend. So technically I didn't stop, but it was just at home in the living room late at night. It wasn't, you know, full on.
Just a little chill.
Get a little methadone, you know, to numb it. I don't know the answer to no longer protract the tease. I'm no longer actively writing. I'm no longer writing movie reviews for the Nightlife. I have moved on from – it's really kind of my first job. I mean, I had one job before that briefly. I made like $50 a week writing press releases for a politician that wound up getting sent to jail for taking a bunch of money.
Okay, let me stop here.
Sure.
Writing job or job? I mean, was that your first job? Was a writing job?
I mean, you know, I mowed lawns when I was, you know, I would, you know, or I worked. Yeah. I've never had a job that wasn't writing, really.
Wow. Crazy.
Trying to think if I've ever had a job that wasn't a writing job or, you know, in, you know, comedy or something like that. No, I don't think I ever have.
Wow.
I mean, I've done odd gigs here. Like I would deliver papers for extra money when I was younger. When I worked at the paper, I'd drive and drop them off of the business and they'd throw me an extra $50 or something. So I've done stuff, but not really. My first job when I was 15, I was writing these press releases for this politician who got pinched for stealing a few $100,000 to pay for his wife's gambling habits.
Wow. And you had to do press releases for him afterwards?
Yeah. No. Beforehand, it was he was the Secretary of Education, I believe, or something like local school guy, superintendent of education. That's what he was. What turned out the job was, is I would go to this little office and there would be a little, and then eventually they started sending me stuff at home. You'll like this as a government hater. This is right up your alley. I would go in this office and there would be a little stack of press releases about, like, you know, hey, water safety, or hey, some kid won an award. And they would say, all right, you need to rewrite this and make it sound like your boss had something to do with it. So you would just try to work his name in. You rewrite press releases and work his name into it. It's like, so-and-so very much appreciates the fine work of, you know, Daisy Williams, who's won the 12th grade science fair. You know, so-and-so, this, I don't want to say his name, you know, so-and-so loves science and he gives money to the schools and all that. You know, it was just making him seem like he had credit for everything that ever happened that was positive.
And then you got caught. He got caught.
Yeah, well, so it was funny. They started sending me. Then they're like, you know what, you can do this from home. We'll email you this stuff. And then sometimes I would be like, hey, you didn't send me anything this week. And they'd be like, we don't really have anything for you this week. We'll get you next week, but you'll still get a check. And then they stopped talking to me altogether, but I just kept getting these checks for like a year, probably, year and a half. And then one day I stopped getting the checks, and I was like, well, probably fair. And I went to the office to like mention it to them, and the office had literally moved. It was completely empty. There was like – it was like just like carpet scraps on the floor of this empty building. They'd moved and not even told me. And then, just maybe 6 months or a year later, he got arrested for stealing a couple hundred grand.
Wow. So you had already lost the job. So you weren't – I was actually saying, well, you could probably understand what Anthony Weiner's press office is going through.
No, I had already lost that gig. I believe there was some overlap. I think I might have still been getting those checks for no reason when I – my ex-girlfriend's mother recommended that I submit to the Nightlife, which is in this newspaper, kind of a Village Voice, but a very small version of the Village, you know, the classic alternative newspaper, you know, sure. Anybody in the 90s knows the alternative newspapers, you know, obviously. It's a dying thing now, obviously. But so I applied for that, started writing movie reviews when I was 17. And just a couple of weeks ago, don't know if we talked about this on mic. I don't think we – maybe we did a little bit talking about my old boss.
Your editor. Yeah, no, yeah. We did. We actually did a whole segment about your old boss.
Right.
About him finally leaving that he was a mentor and a friend.
Yeah, so he sold the paper and this new company bought it. And I think I maybe said to you off air, they're saying they're going to be cool, but I don't know that they really want me around that badly. And then they made me an offer, and it turns out they didn't really want me around that badly. So – so I'm out, and this is the first weekend.
They made you an offer you could easily refuse.
The way I put it to my wife was that they made me an offer I had to refuse.
They made you – so it was an insult. So it was closer to an insult than an offer.
I mean, I could – any minimum wage job would pay me more money. It was sub-minimum wage. So it was like, nah. And, you know, part of it is probably time for me to move on anyway a little bit. I have a movie review in this week's City Pages, actually.
Great.
And so I'm not full-time on that yet there or anything, but, you know, I'm hoping to get another regular gig soon.
So to get back to the original topic, so what you have done every single weekend for half your life is?
Go to the movies, of course, you know.
And this weekend you didn't go to a movie. This is the first weekend in half your life that you did not have to clean popcorn out of the tread of your shoes.
Yeah. I watched a movie on DVD, but I didn't go to the theater, and it felt really strange.
What did you watch on DVD?
Freaks by Todd Browning.
Okay.
Excellent. Classic.
Is that's the old one, right?
Yep, 1930.
That's the pre-Hays Code.
Yes, very.
Okay. Google gobble.
Yep, you're. Yes, exactly. Weeks, you, one of us.
So you went to the DVD store and rented that?
No. It's I get discs from Netflix.
Okay, got it.
So I had that at the house, but I would have gone to see American Assassin, which is a perfect example of a movie that probably wouldn't have been that bad to sit through, but the kind of mediocre movie that I would have to see to fill in between the weeks where, you know, something interesting came out. So it was kind of a good week to take off in that way.
Mm-hmm. So that would have been the choice if you would have still been writing.
Yes, I think that's what I probably would have wound up seeing, because it was a smaller market, so a lot of the indie movies didn't play there. So you wound up seeing a lot of mainstream stuff, which I actually think was really good, and I'm going to kind of miss doing, and I would like to – like, I'm never going to go see those crappy movies without getting paid to do it, but but there was something interesting about seeing
– that's so funny. How many people have said, you couldn't pay me to go see that movie?
Yeah.
And the truth is, yeah, they probably –
yeah, you totally could pay me to see that movie. absolutely. And not even all that much. Just a little more minimum wage, ideally.
And here's the thing is I would speculate that you're going to have to do it. Is that you are not going to want to lose your grasp on the pop culture so much that you're going to have to do it. Before, you had an excuse to see Transformers. And all Fast and Furious.
Transformers is a great example of a movie I won't see because I literally could have written all of my reviews without seeing the movies and been right. I mean, really, it's a pointless exercise, but I love Fast and Furious.
Were you ever tempted to
I never did that.
To write a review without seeing the movie?
I never did that one time.
Were you tempted?
No, but I was tempted to leave a movie. I have been tempted to walk out and review it anyway, just to save myself the time. When it's one of those, like, you know exactly what's going to happen, but I could never. I just felt too squicky about it. Just, yeesh, I don't know. So I never did it. I got a clean record in 18 years. There is a happy...
Kind of like leaving church right after communion.
Yeah.
kind of the same thing is, no, you have to go for the final blessing of the closing song. You got to sit through it.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to pick up another movie room gig. Because you're right, though. I do kind of like that grasp on pop culture, and it's not quite the same. And I just like being in the theater. So I'm still going to probably go to a bunch of movies and hopefully get another movie review. I'm still writing about movies anyway, you know, for other stuff. So that'll help. But I would like to have another regular gig. 18 years, it was like a metronome, you know, it kind of kept the pace of my week.
Thursday is, what do I have to watch? Is this Thursday going to be a good week, or is it going to be a bad week?
Yep, that's exactly it. The story does have a bit of a happy ending, though. Through almost total coincidence, the same week that I decided to quit the paper, City Pages asked me to write a review, which was handy, and then... the exact same week, I get a call from a really old friend of mine, a good buddy of mine. Actually, that joke I have about Republican friends, why you got to have Republican friends, and the guy who helps me fix my tire?
Sure.
That guy, my buddy Matt.
Sure.
Wonderful guy. And he texts me out of the blue and says, hey, man, you wouldn't happen to know anybody who needs full-time editing work. They could do it from home, and the job has benefits and everything, but, you know, it's kind of a specific thing. And I thought, you know what? I do. And I texted my former editor, and he's like, looking for something to do from home and could use some benefits. And so I believe, as of today, my former editor now is working for my other buddy. So
wow.
Cycle of life.
Fantastic.
The day I quit that job, I get the guy who gave me that job a job.
it's a good day.
Yeah. So I actually thought that was I'm pretty good with that closure there. You know, I got to help the guy out after he helped me out all those years.
And ironically, it closes out the segment.
Yes.
All the episodes, timslegel.com, iTunes, Podbean, if you want to actually go to the source.
Yeah, right to the tap. Brian Miller, comedy.com, or check me out on Twitter at @RealBrianMiller, and I post them on the Facebook as well, if you're a Facebooker.
And we'll see you next week.